On the show today, we have In-Network's very own Doug Burke and Tennessee Creighton League's David Griffiths and Carolina League's Craig Beach all talking about the power of branches. Yes, the power of branches. It's still there and stronger than ever, as well as shared branching and the transaction volume that took place during COVID and as we're coming out of the pandemic. Really, really good conversation here with these three, so check it out. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And as you can see, we have a full screen of guests on CU Broadcast today. I'm going to start with the gentleman right next to me, Mr. David Griffiths from Tennessee Creighton League. David, how are you, sir?
Good to see you, Mike. Appreciate the opportunity.
Oh my gosh, more than happy to have you on the show here. And then right below me is Mr. Craig Beach from Carolina Leagues. Craig, how are you?
Doing great. Good to have you. Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah, more than happy. And then diagonal right below me is Mr. Doug Burke from In-Network. Doug, how are you, sir?
Fantastic, Mike. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm happy to have a full palette here today and looking forward to a great discussion. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, branches, shared branching, transaction volume, and more. It's kind of like lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. But we'll just say branches, shared branching, transaction volume, oh my. So, but Doug, I want to start with you because banks, as we know, are closing branches, especially as we've seen in the past year, but many credit unions are still adding branches of all things. So do you think that credit unions are stepping in to fill a need the banks are abandoning here? Because I just had an interview yesterday with a credit union in Michigan, and he said three banks either closed or closed their branches around their area. So there was he's like, oh my gosh, we're just salivating at the opportunity now to help these people. So what are you seeing from your perspective on this?
Yeah, I think there's a difference between the credit union philosophies and the banking model. If I use Chase as an example, who has a lot of branches in the Denver Metro, Colorado market, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. So if they have, 100 branches in the Denver Metro area and they close 10 or 20, it's not going to be a huge visible difference versus a credit union. They may have 10 or 20 for the whole Denver Metro area. Yeah. So there's still a lot of opportunity for credit unions. So I think they're still going after market share. It's an image. It's a brand. So you put your branch out there and, hey, we're in town. We're here to support you. And so they need to reach out and be known in the different communities that they're there to do business.
Yeah, I kind of call it like the Starbucks effect, because if you see a Starbucks on every, I mean, it's like, oh, I can get my coffee, I'm good. But if you see your credit union branch, oh, they're there, they're right there for me, just in case type of thing. Is that kind of what you're alluding here to?
Yeah, no, I think so, absolutely. And if you don't see it, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, indeed. And David, let's talk shared branching here for a second here. What kind of members still use shared branching? Because I love this business model. And, it's obviously credit unions, it's a credit union thing for sure. And so what kind of members out there are still using the shared branching model?
It's interesting. I think the pandemic has, of course, pushed more people into the digital channels. However, there are still people who are very much afraid of technology. And, being able to go in and see somebody is still important. And there is still that segment of the population. And you'd be surprised. It's even, sometimes it's even younger people. Just, there are certain things they don't want to do. Virtually, they do want to see somebody just because they want to know that they're there. It's kind of much like the branch, just understanding that the branch is there. The other area that I think this really we see the opportunity with shared branching is in the unbanked or underbanked area. We think there's some real opportunity there. We've seen some of it, but I think we can, even grow that going forward as far as that's concerned. And then there's just those special circumstances, right? Somebody needs the cashier's check, and but the only way you're going to do that is got to go into the facilities and get that, whether it's cashing one, or going and getting one. So there are special needs like that that we definitely know that those transactions are still going to be needed at these locations, the physical location themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I like it about it as well. You kind of get the best of both worlds. You can really leverage the digital to your liking, the transactional type stuff. But man, if you need to really talk to somebody or need that cashier's check like you were talking about, David, head on down to the branch and get it done. They're more than happy to get it done for you, for sure. And Craig, I'm going to come to you on how does shared branching, how does it benefit Credians? Because from my perspective, it really expands their footprint, right?
Absolutely. I think, we also tend to talk about digitization and where members are moving, but the fact of the matter is they want everything, right? I mean, they want to be able to go in person and they want to go do it digitally, and it all depends on what type of transaction that is. But the biggest benefit, the most obvious benefit, is it does. It allows a credit union here in the Carolinas to service members in the California area or in the Washington area or wherever that may be. I also think that even with the younger generation, even though they say, yes, we could do everything more digitally, they still say, I want to know there's a branch there. So having that ability to walk into a branch and feel like you've got help there with an account or do a transaction, I think that's really the benefit. It allows the credit union to expand their reach into those other areas.
Isn't there a sense of comfort too? Because I know we just had one of our middle children, senior high school, just open an account, but she went to the actual branch to do it. And she just said it was really nice to talk to somebody and know that they were real and they explained a lot of things to me. And so she felt really comfortable. And that really gave her a sense of trust for opening an account there. So is that kind of I see that as well, right?
Yeah, and I think that really goes to the point, right? It's really about the complexity of the transaction is how I've said it, and complexity is all relative.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what a complex transaction is different than somebody else. But having that ability and knowing that it's there, they really kind of want that. I want to be able to get to it however I can, whenever I can, based on what that transaction is. So yeah, absolutely. I think it gives a lot of comfort and there's a lot of power for, a credit union to be able to say, hey, I've got 5,600 branches across the country. That's a powerful statement.
Yep, no doubt. And she's a Gen Z, so she really debunked a whole lot of myths there. So she's just really, she's a myth buster. So good stuff. All right, Doug, hey, speaking of transactions, so was the loss of transactions in blue states versus red states the same, or what's the tally here?
No, when the pandemic hit, nobody really knew what we were going to be like on the other side. But looking back, there are some differences. And at the time, I didn't realize there would be differences. We're just saying, hey, there's lockdowns. The lobbies are closed. Drive-ups may be closed for a bit of time. That was the case in Denver, in Colorado, where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, we started to think about it, and especially as we're coming out of it, talked to some credit union CEOs, and they're like, our transactions never really dipped that much, and we're kind of almost back to where we were. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm seeing a correlation between, states that were locked down, which are traditionally more of a blue state, mm-hmm. and states that weren't locked down, a red state. And so depending on where the credit union was, the member may not have been impacted as much because some of the drive ups and other lobbies may not have closed. Therefore, the transactions weren't, down as much. And probably California was down more because they were one of the last states to kind of come out of the lockdown. So I think there are differences.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. One of the things I could just add on that real quick is when we had our lockdowns here, in the Southeast, what we saw is a lot of our small credit unions, of course, they did not have drive ups. So they literally were locked down. Their members could not get access to them. Wow. So it really, made it very difficult. But what was great is we had credit unions, some of our larger credit unions who opened up their drive ups, which was something they were not doing beforehand with shared branching transactions, and they opened up those locations or those drive-throughs just so they could help out those smaller credit unions. So we really saw a step up of a number of our credit unions to help out some of their smaller brethren in that process, and that was great to see. At least that's definitely something we saw in our area.
Yeah, Craig, what did you guys see in your area in the Carolinas?
So, ours is kind of interesting because I think we're considered kind of a purple state. The North Carolina is considered a purple state, but The governor is Democrat, and the state kind of went red. So I guess that also equals purple. But you know, we didn't see as much as many branches closed as what I would have expected. A lot of them came up with solutions to that. It wasn't, you know, they would have their drive-throughs, or they would say, hey, just call this number and get an appointment so that you can come in and do a transaction. Yeah. And I think that actually gave members some comfort that hey, look, they're there. And I really think that we just had everybody, you know, pulling back. So in other words, they weren't out eager to get into the branch, as well as the branches were kind of limiting who they could see. So I think it worked out pretty well. We still saw some loss in transactions, obviously, but everybody kind of pitched in, and we also saw some really good examples of where Craig said, hey, I can't get, we are inside a building that is closed down. We can't service our own members, but they were able to send them over to other branches. So we saw some real positive things come out of that time as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's some amazing stories for sure. And David, so you were talking earlier about the transactions as well. And so what are the primary transactions requested by members in your area? What did you guys see?
You know, again, you know, of course, with the pandemic, it, you know, it was just, you know, getting, you know, being able to make a deposit or, you know, cash it, you know, or cash a check. It was, you know, just a simple thing. That's literally what we saw during the pandemic. It was just basics. You know, there wasn't a lot. Now, you know, as things started to open up a little more, then the more complicated transactions, you know, came into play where people were needing, you know, cashier's checks and other things like that, notaries or whatever it might be. So, you know, those opportunities, you know, started to you know, come about, but still majority of the transactions are just that transactional thing where it's cash related. Somebody's trying to either deposit or, you know, get some money out of an account.
Yeah. Did you see the same thing in your area, Doug?
Yeah, I would say, you know, number one is deposits. And I think the deposits, it's a combination of cash and check. There's a lot of ATMs anymore that have the ability to accept a cash deposit, but I think there's still a mental block of me taking a bunch of cash and putting it in there and saying, did you really count all of the bills I put in there? And, you know, when it comes to checks, I think, you know, same thing. People want to know that it's there. Yep. You know, if you put it in the mail, it might be by the time it gets there and holds and everything. I think the process goes faster when somebody goes into a branch, or if it's a payroll check, they have the ability to give it immediate availability. So I think, you know, deposits in general are number one. And then number two are withdrawals. Some of the withdrawals are just, hey, I deposited a check, I need $100 back. So it's a combination transaction. And then, you know, on the withdrawals too, I think people, just like I know my mom as an example, being older, she doesn't like going to the ATM and it spits out 50s or something. She's like, I don't like that. I want some of this. I want some of that. So again, it's about choice.
That's awesome. Craig, how about you? What transactions did you guys see in your area?
Yeah, it was about the same as what you've heard here. I would say that we saw withdrawals increase. And I think some of that would make sense, because they were withdrawing cash, but they didn't, to Doug's point, they may want different denominations or whatever the case may be. I'd also say the other transaction that we saw along with deposits have remained the strong transaction there is loan deposit, you know, loan payments and those kind of things obviously come through there as well, where when folks got, you know, left their job and things were kind of changed, it was a way for them to go in and make their loan payment as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to stick with you on this one, Craig. So what trends have you seen in terms of transaction volumes during this time?
Well, so we did see about a 30%, 39% decrease in transactions over the entire, from about March 2020 to March of 2021. However, that's starting to kind of now bend back up. Again, transactions in shared branching have stayed relatively flat, maybe decreased at a very slow rate, because they really kind of follow the same way checks are, right? Where when a member comes in, they've got checks, and if they're not, so we've seen some natural decline, but we had a steeper decline, obviously, in May of 2020, and it started to kind of trickle back up. And it was really fascinating because it followed the trend lines of COVID. You know, COVID would go up, the line would go down.
Oh, wow.
You know, and when it would go down, then the traffic would go back up. So you can kind of see that it was where people, when they were out and about, then the transactions picked back up. But that's what we're seeing. And we're starting to see that pick back up a little bit now. It'll be interesting to see what the new normal is.
Yeah, no doubt. And Doug, speaking of what Craig was talking about, kind of a volume decrease, what are the benefits of this volume decrease from your perspective?
You know, at first glance, people can say, you know, that there isn't advantage. But I guess if we look at some of this, that there could be locations that may have been very busy, because it's not just share branching volumes that are going down. It's the Credian's volumes going down as well, yeah. Right? Their own members are using digital. So it's a balancing act. So I think it's an opportunity for some of those Credians to earn more revenue. Mm-hmm. So their lobbies are less full than they may have been a year ago. So they're able to handle more capacity. And so I think from that standpoint, you know, being able to provide service, you know, members less friction when they go in there, they're like, hey, you know, the lines aren't as long as I can get right up there. So I think, you know, depending on who you are, that there can be, you know, some benefits to it as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to wrap up question here. I'm going to start with you, David. Yeah, what are some takeaways here? I mean, is the share branching model still strong? Is the branching model still strong based on transactions? Or what are the takeaways of this conversation for folks out there from your perspective?
Yeah, you know, what I would say is the shared branching model is still a very strong model. And we're, you know, we actually have some credit unions who are opening up some additional branches that they didn't, for what Doug just kind of mentioned about. They had some volume go down in their branches from their own membership, and they're actually talking, opening up those branches now to shared branching transactions, which is great. So it's definitely a model that I think still has a great deal of opportunity. And I think, you know, as we progress and as credit unions continue to, you know, look for, you know, different ways to serve their members, because fields of memberships are expanding well beyond even the branch locations, right? And this shared branching, you know, system really does help those credit unions serve those members regardless of where they're at across the country. So that's a big piece of this.
Yeah, I still love that model, and it's so unique to the credit union industry. Craig, you know, having said that, what are some of your takeaways from this discussion or the message here for folks out
there? Yeah, I think it was similar to what David said. I think that what we're finding is that you do need those branches to kind of be complementary to the other avenues that you're allowing members to reach your credit union. I also think, going back to an earlier question, I also think that these banks are so profit motivated, right, that some of the pulling branches out, they're creating deserts in those areas, in the rural areas.
Yep.
And I think credit unions now, because we have this flexibility and leverage of collaborating in shared branching, it allows them to reach into those areas and help those folks that are under service.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that we're certainly going to see changes, but I think that's a place where credit unions can really focus their efforts and make a difference.
Yeah, it's like the gentleman I talked to yesterday from the Michigan Credit Union, the banks and the branches closed down there. He's like, thank you very much. You know, it's like, you guys are awesome. You're great. You're out of here. Now it's our turn. You know, so yeah, good stuff here. All right, Doug, I'm going to wrap up with you. Any final words of wisdom here on this? I mean, I think, again, this is such topical information here. And I still love the shared branching model and how effective it is and how strong it still is.
You know, I think before the pandemic, share branching was a shining star for the credit union movement and a great example of collaboration and cooperation. And I think it is today. Yeah, we talk about new normals and adjusting and all that type stuff, but I still think it's probably one of the primary examples of cooperation and collaboration we have in the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, you know, the branches and kind of shifting landscape there. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a large credit union, I have 20 branches, but now with share branching, you have over 5,000. You know, if you're a credit union with two or three branches, but yet my you know, metro area has 50 or 100. So we're always stronger and better together than we are individually, regardless of size.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, gentlemen. Well, this was a fantastic conversation. I think we're just kind of scratching the surface here, though, you know, so there's more to this than meets the eye. But I thank you for piquing our interest and giving us a few nuggets of wisdom. So we appreciate that. And keep up the good work in your respective areas. I'm really just, it's amazing the work and the stories that we heard the last year or so. And you guys are right there in the middle of it all. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much.